Hello everyone and welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host Scott and with me on the sofa of swimming debate is Dan.
How's things this week?
They're good. It's got cold here in Britain, but we have a fire episode for you. I am really looking forward to this one.
This is what swimming's all about now, yes. Yeah, especially on the elite side anyway, yes.
So this week on the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, we are covering Season 2 of the ISL, the International Swimming League. We are going to preview it in its full entirety and give you a lowdown of what to expect from Season 2. Season 1 was good, but let's see what Season 2 has in store for us all.
Yes, there's been a lot of promo on all the social media sites, and actually really looking forward to it, actually. I think it starts tomorrow, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this podcast will go live on Thursday, the 15th of October, and ISL starts on the 16th, so we're really hitting this bang on in time. Makes a change with us, really.
Yes, I know. Yes, yeah.
So there are a few things we need to cover. There are a few new rule changes. We aren't going to go in depth of every rule of ISL. We've did a podcast on that before. We made a few mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was one of our first ever podcasts.
It was. And I think you do learn a lot more by actually watching it.
Yes.
And so we were going off the cuff, weren't we? We hadn't watched it before. We were just reading what was on the website. And so we had our interpretations, some were wrong.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to watching this year's event, which is solely held in Budapest.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So the first rule changes, Dan, you're going to cover the first major one, and that is jackpot times.
Yes, there's a new rule, it's a jackpot time. So basically, if an athlete is ahead of some of the athletes in this race by a bigger margin than the jackpot time, which there's different times for different races, the points of these athletes are awarded to the winner of that race.
Yep, so in theory, so if we take Adam Peaty, for example, if he finishes 2.2 seconds ahead of the whole field, he will be awarded every point in that race. However, if he finishes 2.2 ahead of just the last four swimmers, he will get those last four swimmers points for London Raw, his team.
Yes, so there's a grand total of 37 points if he were to beat everyone by 2.2.
Which is a big amount. Yeah.
Which is a big amount, yes, exactly. So that's one of the biggest rule changes. There's also two new races.
Yep, 100 IM for both male and female.
Yes.
Dan was trying to figure out before this podcast what the second race was.
I was frantically looking. I just thought, 100 IM's been added. Great, what's the other one then? And then realised,
male and female.
Yeah, that's the two races. Yep.
And there's also a really cool new change to skins. And that is that the medley relay winners, which happens before the skins race, can choose what stroke skins is going to be. So before, the skins race was solely freestyle, which meant the best freestyle swimmers in the world, Dressel, Manadu, Ben Proud, they were the only ones really competing for triple points.
The big points, correct.
The big points, and meaning they get MVP and the big paycheck. Mm. Now, looking back on that, that is slightly unfair, let's be honest.
Well, it is. If you're a 50-meter freestyler, you're absolutely laughing. That's the reason why Sostrom was MVP overall and Dressel got so many points. And I think, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I reckon a lot of people weren't too happy about it.
Yeah. So now the medley relay team can pick for the skins to be butterfly, backstroke.
Well, let's say, for example, London Raw win the medley. They can then choose to, let's have skins as 50 breaststroke.
Yeah, and at which point Adam Peaty is going to rip them
all to
shreds.
Would be a big favourite, yes, exactly.
Exactly, and the other change to skins is that there's not quite so many points awarded for them.
No, so normally it's 9 points for a win for like a regular race, if you like, and then skins is a total of 14 points, I believe.
Yeah, so before it was triple points if you win skins, which meant whoever wins skins wins MVP, which again, they're trying to make it a bit fairer so that all other races have... They have some significance, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Because the whole point of this is to bring significance to swimming in general.
Yeah.
And if you're honest, it was all being about skins.
It was all about, that's where the promo was. That was what the advertising was, really. And it was all based on the skins because it is. That's the highlight of the whole thing, really.
Yeah.
So the fact that it involves more swimmers now, not just the freestylers, bit more interesting, I feel.
So it might take your head a while to get around all the rules of ISL if you are new to it, but I know me and Dan are really excited about this change. I cannot wait for one team to win the medley relay and get everyone to do the skins as fly. I am really looking forward to the pain on everyone's face for that.
Especially on that third 50, yeah, when it's just the head
to
head.
So painful.
So painful. But it's all good show for us, isn't it? Good
yeah,
show for
I us. Cannot wait to see it.
Yes, so, I think that's a really good rule change, that medley. Yeah, it makes the medley relay more important as well.
Exactly, so you need a good swimmer in every stroke to win the medley relay and then hopefully win the skins.
Exactly, yes.
It all ties together.
Absolutely.
That's what we like.
Yes.
So there is one other big change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that there's two new teams.
Exciting, right? So there's now 10 teams.
So the two new teams are the Tokyo Frog Kings and the Toronto Titans. And in the research before this podcast, we found out that the Frog Kings are named that. It might seem a bit weird for everyone. Mm. But they are named that after their general manager, Kitajima, who was the breaststroke king of his
generation. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you for saving me.
No worries.
So they've got new swimmers who weren't in ISL before, but there are also a few transfers in there.
Yes, yeah. So they're headed up by Morozov and Sato.
And Bruno Frattas.
And Bruno Frattas as well. And of course, Morozov, he swam previously for, was it Team Iron, I think it was?
Yeah.
And of course, he won loads of points for them. So to be able to win him or transfer him over, that's a huge plus. And of course, Sato is going to be dominant, I would have thought, in the IM swims.
And like many of the other ISL teams, the Tokyo squad is made up of predominantly Japanese swimmers.
Yep.
And the same applies for the new team, Toronto Titans, which is made up of predominantly Canadian swimmers.
Correct, yeah.
So they are led by Kylie Massa and the golden oldie, Brent Hayden.
Yes, I know.
He is still going, and it's his first crack at ISL, and I cannot wait to see him sprinting.
I think he's the vice-captain, isn't he?
He
imagine
is, yeah.
Him being a vice-captain. Lovely.
So he made a comeback for Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
Yes.
And obviously, that's been put on hold, and as I can't even remember how old he is now, 39, 40?
I can't remember, but yes, old, yeah.
To give him a shot at some money or something to race for while he's waiting for those Tokyo Olympics to come round is a big reason ISL is so successful.
Yes, exactly. I mean, last year, was it Manadu that came back just for the ISL?
They came back, and now he's become a force again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's just increasing the longevity of these swimmers, which is
like to see.
Absolutely brilliant. Yes, yeah.
Swimmers retire far too early for my liking.
Yes. Oh, no, they do. Yeah. Especially sprinters. You can keep sprinting for, I mean, Anthony Irvine, for example, won gold medal at 37. Yeah. You can keep going for as many years.
Yeah. So that's all the major changes. A few things to note about ISL this year.
Mm.
There are a few swimmers, because of COVID, I know I've said the dreaded C word, that haven't managed to make it to the squads.
No.
So there are no Australians racing in ISL, I believe. I think maybe one or two are racing because they're based in America.
A huge majority of them are not going, unfortunately.
So because they're based in Australia, the Australian government have said, we're not letting you leave the country and then come back.
Well, I think the rule of Australia at the moment is that no one's allowed to leave, no one's allowed to enter. And so, yeah.
And on the same lines, there's a few Italians who have pulled out, and that's because Italy had a training squad in Rome. They created their own little swimming bubble for the Olympics, and they don't want to break that bubble, basically.
Exactly. Yes.
Which is both perfectly understandable, but it has left a few gaps in rosters. I mean, London Raw lost Kyle Chalmers, Seaburn. There's some huge swimmers who aren't on the teams, but it has opened up to others.
Yes, well, in a weird way, it makes it a bit more competitive now, because I think Energy Standard were almost head and shoulders above everyone else, but now it's a bit more competitive.
Everyone's lost a few swimmers.
Yep.
But the thing that, for me, because London Raw had a lot of Australian swimmers, it's opened up, and they've now got 15 British swimmers on their squad.
Yeah, most of which are quite young as well. So it's great experience for them, especially with Tokyo going up just around the corner as well.
Yeah, so in total, there are now 36 British swimmers throughout the teams on ISL, which that's exactly the exposure that British swimming needs, especially, like you said, these younger swimmers.
Yes, exactly. And of course, now, one huge positive is now there's a big media coverage on BBC Sport now, which we've been banging on about for how long now? Ages. So finally, it's come true.
I could do a whole podcast on British swimming and BBC Sport, because BBC Sport is probably the most read sports website
especially in
the UK.
Yeah.
And British swimming, the only articles you ever see are Adam Peaty.
It's just Peaty. You don't even hear anything about Jimmy Guy, who's in effect the second most popular swimmer in the country. You don't hear anything about that. Duncan Scott, yeah, hear nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
So
just
nothing
PT.
At all, and you just hear about PT, and you don't hear about open water success, yep. which we've obviously covered on this podcast. So for it, the whole of the ISL now to be broadcast on the BBC Sport website, hopefully that finally increases the exposure of British swimming.
You'd like to think so, yes.
I really hope so.
You really hope so.
And otherwise, I'm going to have to start a petition. I really am.
Well, the whole idea is to build the profile of these swimmers, you know?
Yeah.
You'd hear about all sorts of athletes and athletics, you know, pretty much all of them, because of BBC Sport and
BBC
the publicity Port, they're giving them.
It puts on British nationals, British championships, yeah. just general races.
Yeah. But so it should be the same for swimming.
It should be.
Because yes. when it comes round to the Olympics, swimming is probably the most watched sport, I would have thought.
I would have thought worldwide.
Especially in the first week.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the major, yeah. the major discipline.
Yes.
It is the major discipline in that first week of the Olympics.
Yep.
Yeah. So what other positives are there about this year's ISL that we can look forward to?
Well, I think because of COVID, the dreaded C word, it brings everyone back to some sort of normality. We're back racing again. Some people haven't raced for now.
So there is a positive of COVID.
Six. Kind of. No, there's not a positive of COVID, no.
But we are racing again. That's what we're trying to say. Again, we are finally getting to watch it.
Some people haven't raced for now 6-7 months. And so there must
be...
Yeah, and the rest. And some people must have some rustiness when it comes to race sharpness, all that sort of stuff. So the fact that we're back in, we're back racing, gets us ready. Well, I say us. Gets everyone, all the swimmers, back ready for the Olympics, obviously, which is the end goal.
So another positive of it is that it will give, like we said before, there's a lot of new, younger swimmers. It will give them their first taste at maybe like an Olympic lifestyle because of this bubble. So when you go away to the Olympics, you're in athlete camp,
yes.
basically, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's something you have to learn to deal with. And if you're a new swimmer, it can be quite daunting. I can't speak from experience, but I would have thought that's a very daunting time to be there.
It's a good learning curve.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Yeah. And I mean, most of these swimmers will be in the Olympics. So the fact that they're racing these Olympians who are, I mean, all of them are going to win medals, I would have thought, you know, in their chosen category. I would hope so. Yeah. So great, absolutely amazing. And of course, the media coverage, so you build their profile, getting the experiences. Awesome.
Hopefully it will do wonders for swimming, like ISL was really programmed to do. That's what it was.
What this was designed for, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to bring the tone of the podcast down a bit.
Wonderful.
The negatives of this year's ISL, because there are a few and we can't hide away from them.
Yes. Yeah.
The fact that this is going on while COVID is on its second wave in Europe.
But it is, yes.
It's slightly worrying to me.
Well, this is the reason why no Aussies are going, or barely any Aussies are going.
Because they don't want to spread it.
Some
Italians don't want to break their bubble.
Yes, exactly. And of course, this bubble is a major thing. You don't really want to break out of that bubble, because then it just risks.
For me, it's the risk of one swimmer. All it takes is one to go out one night in Budapest after they've swam really well, have a few drinks at one of those ruined bars, which are...
They're awesome.
From experience, they are incredible.
Yep.
All it takes is one to bring it back to ISL and spread it through all of these athletes who are then flying back around the globe to where they're from. That is the only worry. And what happens if COVID does get into the bubble?
I wouldn't like to...
I don't want to think about
it. Really. But yeah, it's difficult. Going away from COVID, kind of. Is there another negative is there's no crowd.
I think there is a crowd.
Oh, there is a crowd, is
there? I think they are encouraging a crowd because it's in Budapest. They are allowing a crowd.
So they're more lenient there, are they?
Yeah, I think. But I argue you're in COVID. Why are you encouraging that? If that is the case. I hold my hands up. I am guessing.
Oh, it's difficult. I mean, we all want to go back to normality, but the cases and the deaths are rising, and it's very much a second wave going on. And it's you do want to go back to normality, but it's difficult right now. And of course, yeah.
Because we watched the Vegas leg last year, the final, and the crowd noise, everything was incredible.
Yes.
And that's what ISL is all about. There's a lot of crowd involvement when you're there.
A lot of cheering, yep.
So correct. It's a big negative that...
Well, I just wonder if the atmosphere is going to be the same. Mm. You'll still have the cheering from the team, but when it comes through on the telly when you're watching it, will it have that impact?
Yes,
yeah. Exactly, yeah. So that's, for me, that's quite a big negative, actually.
Mm.
But if you say if there's some sort of crowd, even if they fit 1,000 in there or however many, hopefully it will bring it up a little bit, you know?
I mean, on that point, another big negative is that the Propulsion Swimming podcast hasn't got an invite yet.
Yes.
And that it's not in Vegas. But an invite to Budapest would have been incredible because we love that city.
I'd go there again.
Yeah.
Definitely go there again.
It's so much fun. It's relaxing but fun at the same time.
It is. I mean, we had, how long were we there for? 4 days, something like that?
Three nights, 4 days.
Yeah, something like that. And we were busy the whole time. Yeah. We didn't run out of things to do.
There's plenty to do. But awesome. Again, if they go in there swimming in a bubble, people aren't going to be able to see it, which is a massive shame.
It is a shame, yes. And of course, there's another negative of, we mentioned it before, no summers, no Aussie summers, no Italians. And of course, the Aussies are quite good fun, I would have thought. I haven't never been there, but I thought the Aussies are quite bubbly,
aren't
they?
It lowers the standard of competition just that slightest
bit. Just a smidge, yes.
Yeah, which is a shame.
It is a shame.
So, are you going to give us any predictions for this year's ISL? Are there any world records you reckon are going?
Well, so difficult to say because we've not had any racing, so we can't go off how... We have no idea what their form is at all.
This is the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We usually put out some wild world record, which is going to go.
Okay, so I've always said that I think Dressel's going to break the 50 world record at Tokyo, at the Olympics, but...
Which stroke?
53.
Okay. This is all short course.
This is short course, which he's already done. He's already broken the world record last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll break it yet. I think he'll get it at the Olympics, but I don't think he'll get it yet. So if I'm going to predict a world record to go, I would say Sarah Sostrom would get one. In the 100 free.
Okay.
That's my wild prediction.
See, my prediction is everyone is going to come in and times are going to fly off the board.
Do you reckon?
I can't name one race. I could name several.
You reckon they're all going to go?
I reckon by the end of ISL, they've got 10 rounds.
Yeah, 10 legs, yeah.
10 legs, yeah. So they're obviously going to be rusty week one, but by 10 times of racing through, admittedly every team isn't racing 10 times.
Yeah,
but by the time you get to that 10th week, everyone is going to be razor sharp. Should be in form.
You'd hope so. Makes it more exciting for us.
Every 50 could go.
Yeah.
And maybe every 100.
I can't argue with that. Potentially.
I definitely put Dressel down for 50 free, 50 fly, 100 free, 100 fly.
Oh, blimey.
Straight out. And really? The same with Sjostrom. Honestly.
Oh.
But have you seen Dressel's Instagram recently?
No, not recently.
He looks in form. He looks big.
Oh, he looks big, but he hasn't shown any swimming speed or anything. No,
I'm just going off the size of the bloke. As a former sprinter, yeah. He looks like he's put on some more mass. He's been taking some notes from Manadu, clearly.
Yeah, well, he's a big bloke, Manadu.
He's a gorilla.
My God, he's a gorilla.
Honestly, I think all the swimmers are going to be wound up that they missed the Olympics. They've all going to have... Obviously, to get to the Olympics, they would have been training for the form of their lives.
Yep.
I think that's going to carry through to this ISL because we are quite close to when the Olympic start date was.
Yeah, we're not too far away. Yeah,
yes, they've had a little bit of break in their training. But again, we've had a podcast on, is that break going to make times quicker? It might well do.
Well, it could be. Yeah, could be.
So I'm going to back up that podcast and say that because they've had that break, because they are having 10 legs of racing.
Yep.
Some
do you think
wicked,
sharpness will come
I
back
think
some
wicked and... times are going to...
All right, so who do you think is going to win overall, team-wise?
Team-wise, I can't go past NG Standard.
Really?
They didn't have many Australians leave. They've lost one or two swimmers.
Yeah. Interesting. Who do I think? I think London Raw might have a good chance this time.
Okay, they were close last year, weren't they?
They were. I think they were second or third.
I think they were second.
Was it second? Yeah. So I think London Raw will get them this time, especially with the change with the skins. The fact that the medley winners can change the skins. Yep. I think that's a huge turning point.
Okay.
And actually, I think it's a really good rule to change. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited by that.
Yeah.
So for everyone who hasn't looked at ISL before, go check it out. It starts, as we said, the 16th of October, and the legs finish on, what is it, the 15th of November?
I think it's the 15th of November is when the 10 legs finishes, yes. Yeah.
So if you want to see some really competitive racing, some, finally racing in swimming...
Well, this is swimming at its best.
Yeah, literally is.
Yeah. So this is almost the peak. This is like seconds behind Olympics, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That is the plan for ISL.
Yeah.
So go have a look at it. Go check it out over the next month. And what we're going to do in a month's time is we are going to review the ISL.
Yep.
What we thought went well, what we thought went terrible.
And see if Scott's predictions actually come true or not.
Oh, yeah, he's just going to hold me to those now.
Of course I am.
I forgot about that. We are doing a review show. Damn.
Yes.
So this has been the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you like this episode, why don't you subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts? And we will see you next week.
And catch you on the next one.